Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
95% of ghost encounters end with no harm to those who experience them. Still, this can be a very alarming experience. Tonight, we'll be discussing how to know you are surrounded by spirits. Join host Darren Bouquet for spiritual insight right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. Spiritual Insight. My name is Daniel Michael, the founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And tonight is our Sunday evening show, Spiritual Insight, with your host, Darren Kerr. Main Street Universe is now a network of six shows. One is Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquet. Darren's a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. So 7 p.m. every Sunday here. You can call in and get a reading from Darren, and he will be opening the phone lines tonight, as well as discussing his topic. Monday evenings at 10 p.m. now is Kevin Baird with the show Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. And Kevin Baird has created a series of oracle cards known as the Horizon Oracle, as well as its companion workbook, which he did a really good job on that this time around. He's had other workbooks, and this one looks really impressive. So Kevin Baird, Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Tuesday evening, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Susan Weed with her show Green Magic, Green Medicine. Susan is a master herbalist discussing the psychology of healing as well as women's health issues. So master herbalist Susan Weed, we're right now at part 7 in our discussion about roots. We've been talking about burdock, and as well as one that people get rid of and throw away and don't know it's one of the most powerful medicines in the world, dandelion, both the flower, the leaves, and the root. So 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Susan Weed, Green Magic, Green Medicine. Wednesday evenings, soon to be later, I'm shifting Wednesday up to about 9 or 10 Eastern Time. Myself, associate producer Janice R. White, and Brett Hillman, for the community show, the flagship show, Main Street Universe, the one that started it all, myself and Kevin Baird. And our show talks about a variety of different topics. Sometimes we talk about issues of nature, sometimes of future science, sometimes it's a divination show and we just all bust out the cards and do readings for people. There's interfaith elements, as well as I am pagan, and Brett Hillman is studying to be a Christian minister and actually is a Christian deacon in another Christian tradition. So it's an eclectic show. We discuss a lot of different things. Main Street Universe is going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesdays. We're going to be adjusting the time because of my new work schedule. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Queen Mother Imaku with her show Uat Tau, Kemetic African Tradition. Queen Mother Imaku is an expert on this subject and is a high priestess of this tradition. Very informative. You learn things about the original language. Some people forget that Egypt is in fact in Africa, not the Middle East. So join Queen Mother Imaku 1 p.m. Eastern Time Thursdays for her show Wat Ta'ul. Then Fridays at midnight, we have Jesse Ann Nichols George with Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Jesse is the author of four books, Activating Compassion and the Companion Workbook, and then her new one, You, Me, Life, Dreams, and the accompanying workbook to that as well. So that is the six shows that make up the Main Street Universe radio network, with a few more rotating monthly shows to come. Now I'm going to bring on our host, Darren Bouquet. I see he's in the queue, and we have a couple callers on the line as well. Welcome, Darren.
Hello, everyone, and I hope everyone's had a wonderful Sunday evening. This is Darren Bouquet. Welcome to Spiritual Insight. This evening, Daniel Michael and I will be kind of examining connecting with spirit when we're not exactly the people that wanted to start up the conversation. When spirits are there and they want to kind of ring your bell or get your attention and what that all entails and how to know and what to do and if it's even really happening or is it your imagination? Daniel Michael, how are you? It's a fine evening.
I am well. It's an incredibly busy week as my electrical business has been picking up dramatically to the point where
I'm just exhausted.
I was working today.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow. So it's going well. I'm making honestly more money than maybe I ever have in my life.
Wow, that's marvelous. Yeah, that's a DC phenomenon sometimes. You go from just, you know, trying to put an idea together or put a fragmented sort of concept for how to make money in DC, and the minute people realize you know what you're doing, you're flooded with this.
A market here for just about anything. You know, DC, Virginia wasn't hit all that hard by the recession like some areas were, even in the housing areas. And like you said, once they learn about you, it's getting the contacts, just like anything else. And once you get them here, you're between Maryland and D.C. and Northern Virginia, all very populated, very, you know, movers and shakers and important people in federal government and all
highly
sorts of...
populated, right, in a seamlessly endless government, funnel of money coming through that wants to substantiate the American government, and while we did see a little hiccup in that just recently, for the most part, that's something that is almost, you know, an undisruptible sort of a, you know, wave of money happening. So that's always been.
You used to live here yourself. That's how we met.
Right. And living there, I realized that, you know, something that is needed in that area is spirituality, is a form of connection with higher energy and being in touch with the self, because unfortunately you do have a lot of one-dimensional, one-note pathologies where people are just constantly linking into something that involves, you know, like going to work, working out, that sort of thing. And none of that is terrible, it's just... it can be a little one-dimensional. And then when we're out and we have that time to go out and spend on ourselves, what are we doing with that? Are we just having PTSD, post-traumatic syndrome about, like,
what
happened over the week and just trying to forget it, and then Monday starts and it's in repeat cycle?
And I'm glad you said that, because one thing about this part of the country is, first of all, I really like it. I think Janice and Nick Berry, who used to occasionally join us as a host, who lives around here as well, and, you know, both of them are African-American, and they both mentioned multiculturally, it's great, except for, just like you said, there's lots of different people here from all over the world. Almost everybody's from somewhere else around here, including myself. I'm from somewhere else in the U.S., that is. And the interesting thing is, just like you said, there is a lack of it. There's something dry about it. It's like everybody's kind of cool and nice, and there's work and there's money, but there's a a dryness or a staleness. Like it's almost like this whole place needs to party a little more, or something to like unify it, or something like that.
It's antiseptic is what I think the word that I would maybe you're kind of searching for. It's just it's very cloaked in its own, you know, homogenized sort of thing. You know, the East Indian, you know, contingent of the giant wealth of population from India. You know, they're becoming Americanized. And then the Americans are becoming East Indian-centric, getting into Lakshmi and sitars, and everyone's just, which is beautiful, but it also makes everyone just kind of not homogenized in the sense of we all kind of like everything, but we don't really particularly lean towards one particular thing. So where is our identity in this?
It reminds me of, and it's okay to have an eclectic identity, I think, if it has soul behind it. And
if it has soul, I'm saying there is a lack of soul on some levels. That's from what I could encounter.
And
from some
it reminds me of, I've been hearing a lot about people talking about the difference between belief and faith. Belief is I think that can happen, and faith is more like, oh, I'm going to make this happen, or I believe it can happen, you know. Or it's an emotional connection, whereas belief is like an intellectual connection, I guess is what I mean to say. So it's a place of nice belief, but maybe it needs a little more soul and faith.
it takes vulnerability. And admitting vulnerability in the nation's capital and possibly the most powerful government hub in the world is something that we maybe don't want to admit weakness or admit humility in the face of divinity, and maybe we don't want to learn from the universe. Maybe we just want to be a part of this machine that seems to be running pretty well, because the center of the world's government tends to flow in and out of that city. So what are we doing wrong? Maybe we're not doing anything wrong. Maybe we should just cycle into those energies and keep it moving, which is what they did in Rome, and that worked for a hell of a long time. So, okay. Why not just do that? The problem with that is we have the setup that the Masons and before them the Rosicrucians and before them the Templars set up in the District of Columbia, and that's what they've set that up, and that's beautiful. And if you're willing to kind of cycle into that, then that's great. But if you have alternate ideas or you don't want to do your own thing, then maybe that's not the best thing for you to. I don't know. So that's just my thought process, and I'm sure that everyone makes a wonderful, vibrant sort of living through that, but you also have to be part of that mechanism that's always striving to be what is happening in the District of Columbia and its outskirts. So,
right?
Does that make any sense? Or, I don't know.
Yeah, I still think I think the whole place just needs to party a little more.
There's that too. Yeah.
We need more playing out for festivals.
Can I ring a bell for the amazing, vibrant, multicultural, multinational, multifaceted people that I've met there and that I continue to, you being one of them. So I just have to say that, you know, I think it's an incredible place, and the fact that you get to, you know, have lunch with somebody from Nigeria, from Quebec, and from, New Zealand, you know, just randomly is a wonderful thing. So
yeah,
let me celebrate that.
Yeah, and it is interesting. It's an interesting place, and I do like it here, like I say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were talking about ghosts and how do you know that you have spirits and ghosts mm-hmm. around.
Right. Well, basically, what the start of the idea behind a connective element that says, okay, there is something in the room with me, there is something around me, there is something that I sense. A spiritual agency, whether it be a residue, an autonomous spirit, an elemental, or just a higher touch of divinity, you're going to feel that the air is a little bit denser. Okay, you're going to feel that you're not alone. Okay. I think those are the two major things that you can really look for when you're encountering a spirit and it wants you to know that they're there. The air is denser, it has a heavier feeling, and that you feel that you're not the only person in the room. Now let's scale back from there. like a lot of these shows that you'll see on TV, that there is a temperature fluctuation. You may experience some sort of kinetic or, you know, tactile sensation, like your ears being touched, your shoulder. You may even hear your name being called. All those things relate to an encounter. And people that actually sit down and debate whether or not this is really happening, a lot of times they're trying to intellectualize things like their hair being pulled or hearing their name being called. Or now, if you're hearing your name being called and your hair being pulled, that's something that is, I think there's an air of menace to that, and that's not something you want to promote. That's not something you want to encourage. It's not something you want to really extend a connection with. And so that's something you have to be aware of. And people, I get calls all the time, on Bourbon Street, people coming in asking me about this, and I have to tell them that, you know, this is not something to encourage, even if it's something that the spirit wants to come from a positive place. If they're taunting you, if they're disrupting your life, that's not positive. It's just simply not positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I get an explanation that, oh, well, they just want to talk to me at night, or they wake me up at 3 in the morning. If somebody wakes you up at 3 in the morning and they were alive, would you be happy with them?
Right.
No.
Just
because they're dead, or they are, an elemental or whatever they are, you do not want to be woken up at 3 in the morning. You just don't. That's just not a good idea. It's not a good plan. And if somebody does, they're not your buddy. They're just not. If they're in your dream and you wake up because the dream is really powerful, and there's something that is an air of, like, just, it's not making you comfortable in the dream, and suddenly you wake up, that's waking you up too, FYI. You should not be waking up through your REM sleep by something that, because the thing is, your soul feels an air of menace to it. Your soul says, I don't want to be in this dream anymore. I'm going to wake myself up. So if that's happening, ladies and gentlemen, that is not a good thing. So you need to ask your spirit guides and say, I want to be protected through this situation. I want to be protected through my sleep. You know, there are all sorts of wonderful, wonderful spiritual encounters. And I haven't seen my grandmother in a while, but my mom's mother who passed away, wonderful, wonderful lady. And, you know, she comes to visit me mostly when I'm having some issues or I'm, like, a little confused or, you know, and that sort of thing. And lately she hasn't been around because I've been very, very at peace and relaxed. And so that's a really wonderful encounter. And my thought every time I talk to her is, hey, aren't you dead? You know, aren't you? You're supposed to be gone. And then it's always depressing when I wake up and realize that she is actually still gone and I can't just call her later. But the point is, that's a wonderful, powerful, positive experience. However, they're not always like that. And times that the experiences that I had even in my late teens, early 20s, are what spurred me into spiritualism, because I wanted to know, how do I stop or shut the door on this kind of spirit activity when I'm trying to sleep? Whether or not it be physical encounters that I don't want, or whether it be in my REM sleep. Because either one can be just as debilitating. If someone enters your dreams and constantly tries to manipulate what's happening and wakes you up, that can cause insomnia. And if you remember, and everyone in the audience, if you can kind of think back to the Sixth Sense, we see how the woman that was the little boy's teacher, the teacher, that's how she, or Bruce Willis's wife, that's how he communicated with her, was through her dreams.
Mm.
That's how he got into her, that's how he gave her messages. That was his relationship with her at that point. And that was the real tip-off that he was a spirit. And I know that's a spoiler alert, but I'm sure everyone's seen that at this point. So.
And, Darren, we do have some callers here.
Mm-hmm.
And right before we get to them, I wanted to share a quick one of myself.
Yeah, please.
And after my one uncle passed. And very quickly, it was a dream where me and a friend of mine, and both of us are construction workers, and we kept walking around the house going, I know there's something in this house. There's something wrong with the house. Like, we were looking for a troubleshooting, you know, electrically. And and we're wandering around, and I said, I think it's in this room. And I, like, opened the door to this one room, and then this image of my uncle comes out and just kind of goes up these steps and ascends up these steps, and he looks incredibly happy. Like, he had some mental illnesses in life, but before that he was very bright and he was an inventor and things like that. And, and he was on the side of the family that was kind of, you know, spiritually had a little bit of vision and the gift and all that. His happiness, like, finally he was free from all this, you know, living in the home and having mental illness, and now he could just kind of go on and, you know, be the next level, and he kind of looked like his old self again. It was a very happy, positive, they're not all like that, but this one was very, I've definitely had some very dark, you know, frightening experiences too, but this one was incredibly, just like, relief, just like it's not only okay, it's great. I'm moving on now after this sort of stagnant, whatever reason it had to happen, stuff. So it was very positive, just almost, it was a real quick, just letting me know, hey, I'm moving on, and it's a lot better. I'm relieved. And there's even the image of him going up the steps, like there was an ascension involved, you know.
Well, I mean, the ascension. That's beautiful, because the stairway, stairway to heaven, there's the message. You know, I was your uncle, but I'm okay, and I want you to be okay, and then take strength in the fact that I'm fine and moving, my soul is moving forward, moving higher. You know,
he was the first one to teach something on guitar, so that's another, you know, he was very artistic. He was an inventor.
Now, did that make an impact on your life at all?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm a musician to this day.
I'm kidding. That was a joke.
You were joking. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm tired.
Yeah, of course it made a huge impact on your life. Are you kidding?
Yes, of course.
That is how your soul speaks to everyone. That is, like, I mean, the medium for who you are and your self-expression. I think that's incredible. I mean, of course, he's the one that taught you that. And then there he is showing up after he passed, saying, hey, I'm ascending, so let this be a message to you. I think that's, like, incredible. Don't you?
Oh, yeah, I did. I definitely felt it. I felt it was real. It was about the same day or a day after. I got the news, like, the day after that he had died. I didn't know he had died. He was in the hospital. I didn't know he had died. So I was
that's just incredible. And I think that's why ancestors do show up. I have had some experience with divinity as well, showing up and speaking to me. And I think those are some of the most incredible, incredible experiences. You know, we can't always have that, but as a spiritualist, it's something that I really treasure, and I felt completely at peace when these things have happened as well, which is marvelous, too. And that's what I mean. Like, it's not, you do not have to be afraid when you get a spiritual encounter, when there is an autonomous spirit, something that is in control of their thoughts and actions, that wants to interact with you. It doesn't have to be a bad thing or a scary thing. However, we have to have our own, like, any conversation, we do not want to be knocked or slapped around or impulsively, you know, beaten to submission by the conversation. We want to have, you know, it needs to be a nice, docile, and amicable conversation, because if it's not, and we can't stop it when we want it to stop, then we're not in control, and that's something that we have to be aware of.
Yeah, and
but
Darren,
if something wants to talk to us when we're sleeping and trying to get some rest, that's probably not the nicest thing they could do. That's the only time they can do it, but we have to let them know that's not, I don't care. I don't care if that's when you want to talk, because I'm trying to sleep, sorry. You have something to say while I'm awake, maybe, but, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
Or you can say, hey, unless it's something really important or you have something benevolent to talk to me about, then please. You know, but opening that door, but you have to definitely paraphrase and be specific. If you have something positive to tell me, something useful or beneficial, so that's really important as well.
And in the chat room, Crystal here was saying sometimes being in a place where there's no control is needed for a message to be passed, and maybe sometimes a knee-jerk thing is necessary, but maybe in patterns it's bad. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. I mean, there certainly can be... Right. I mean, you need to be passive. You need to let things come through. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. If it's say, an ancestor, if it's a divinity force, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Letting the energy come through, you have to have a foundation of strength in yourself. So, Crystal, let me explain. If you have a foundation in yourself and you know that you're protected and you can open yourself up, when I connected with the three times that I've connected with higher divinity that really stand out in my mind, I knew it was present, I knew I was aware of it, and I knew it was benevolent.
Yeah.
So that's where I said, okay, let me continue this conversation. And I also saw an anthropomorphic form relating to like a St. Peter type energy coalescing right next to my bed. And I, you know, interacted with it and it was totally positive. So that was just wonderful. But to me, I was also protected. So if you stand at a place that you're protected, then that's wonderful. But if you're not, and most people aren't spiritualists and don't have layers and layers of I'm okay and I can connect with spirits anytime I want. But a lot of people, you know, certain people do. I've talked to all sorts of people that aren't spiritualists that do talk to spirits that are completely fine and relaxed, and it's just something they do all the time.
Well,
it's
know,
not common.
And I think maybe the spirits should be afraid of her. Just playing.
What?
Just giving her a shout out. Hello, how are you doing? We do have some people
so
on the phone.
Saying you're hell if I can type. What does that mean? You're
yeah. Oh, you're in the chat room now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of. Do you wonder? Can you translate this for me?
Oh, I think she made a typo somewhere.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get you, Daniel. Oh my. Okay.
Let's take a caller, Darren.
Okay, yeah, let's take a call.
We have 1111 earlier. Been waiting for a whopping 27 minutes. They called before the show starts. Okay.
Hi, Darren. It's Kathleen. How are you?
Oh, amazing. How are you, Kathleen?
I'm doing okay. Question for you. I mentioned to you about my son's not talking to me. I still have not heard from the son in North Carolina who has the child. But now I'm getting the business from my other son who just moved back here from North Carolina who was in school. Can you tell me, you know, when I'm going to hear from them, what's going on? I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, what's the other son's name?
Ryan is the oldest one with a baby. I haven't heard from him since Labor Day. And he has a girlfriend there in North Carolina. Then Gregory came home. He was going to pharmacy school down there, Wingate. And then he came back. And on the way back, I'd keep calling him because he was driving alone just to make sure that he was safe. And he wouldn't answer my calls and what have you. But yet when he left there, he was fine.
Okay. So he's just not taking your calls. This is why you're concerned.
Well, he's not coming over, too, and he's only living 6 miles away with a friend.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if it's the brother that got to him. I'd like to know when I'd hear from both of them.
Okay. So Gregory is what we're concerned about first. Because he's
Gregory
right
and Ryan. Yeah.
I know, but Gregory
went to live
is the
with
one
friend.
That's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, he went to live with a friend who's not charging him anything till he gets back on his feet. I offered him a place to stay here, but he didn't want to come back to live with mummy. You know, 25, you don't want to live with mummy.
Okay, well, just hang on, Kathleen. Let me take a look. White,
okay.
Blue, or cobalt blue?
Light blue, please.
Okay. One moment. Okay, we want to look at why Gregory is a little reluctant to contact his mother or his sister.
years, now that he's returned to the earth.
One moment.
Okay.
Okay. All right. See you not on this one, right?
Hello?
Hello, yeah. You want me to just be completely candid with this, right?
Why? What's going on?
Yeah, is that a yes or a no?
You're scaring me.
Don't say what? I mean, you're calling a psychic on the radio here. I mean, what do you want me to do? I don't know.
Go ahead. Yeah, be candid.
Okay. He thinks you're over-emotional. He thinks that he doesn't know what to expect from you when he goes to talk to you or see you. And sometimes you impose your emotions on him. And it's a little frustrating.
Now, is that both of them or just Greg?
Just Greg. We're just focusing on Greg right now.
Okay. But...
You're a little frustrating to him right now. You're showing up as the Queen of Cups inverted. I asked, and then I saw him. Every time he thinks about going over, he feels like he doesn't know what the hell you're going to say or what you're going to insist on and how you're going to affect him. And it just vibrates his energy really strangely. Right now, he's trying to figure it out. He needs a good foundation of self, and he needs to figure out who he is and what his identity is on some level. He needs to be comfortable, but he also doesn't need... You're kind of emotionally needy on him. You're emotionally imposing on him a little bit. You're the Queen of Cups inverted, and then you're the Empress right side up, which means that you have all these wonderful methods and ways to help him, but he needs to help himself. He needs to understand how to be this individualistic, powerful male entity. And on some levels, you're really just this iconically giant figure in his life, and he just doesn't know how to handle it right now.
Okay, do you know if I'd see him for Christmas or when this is going to break with him?
Hold on. Let me ask. All right, Kathleen would like to see her son Greg for Christmas. Okay. Take a look here. Okay. She'd like to see her son Greg for Christmas. Okay. I think that maybe at the last minute he might contact you. Okay. Let me put it to you like this. He needs to find a woman, like a young lady that's going to take him seriously. I do see that happening in December. He's going to want to integrate
like a girlfriend?
Yes, like a girlfriend. He needs a girlfriend. Like,
yeah, he
nobody's
does.
Business. Yes, like nobody's business.
When and he'll happens, meet her in December. Okay.
Yes, and he'll be able to deal with you at that point because he'll say, here's my girlfriend. Like, he connects with female energy very powerfully. So when you being this iconic figure in his life, you can't keep cycling into that energy because it's very powerful. So he needs to send it somewhere else and integrate it with another female energy. This girl will not know what the hell she's doing with herself, and she won't have all her scruples together, and that's okay. She's not a bad person. She's just a little lost, and she's probably a little younger in school, too. I'm just looking at it here.
Jesus Christ.
She'll probably be like, yeah, I really like, the tambourine. It's really, I want to be in a band with, the
I want to be an astronaut, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I mean...
Hey. I like hippie
cool
girls, actually. I think
that's figure. Yeah. So, but anyway, you're showing up as the Queen of Pentacles right side up this time. Thank you very much. And you'll need to help him a little bit financially at that point. Maybe just with a couple little things, nothing crazy. But he'll want you. And then we see the Goddess of the Ocean showing up, and she's there to balance or lend temperance to the situation as we move into the beginning of the year. So... you know, it'll work itself out. But you have to realize he has pinioned himself between a lot of very, very powerful inclinations to do alternate. He doesn't know you're a powerful personality, and you overwhelm
his
personality.
Yeah, I have a strong personality. I know that.
All right, yes, I know that too.
I'm sure you do by now, Darren.
Yes, I do. You know, that's where he needs to kind of just be, he's finding his own identity. So just let him, which is terrible that, you know, oh, you can't talk to your mother. It's a sad thing that he needs to just needs that space, but right now he does. I'm hoping that it'll work itself out here by the middle of December, and then maybe you'll probably get to see him for Christmas. But how long has he been back? A couple weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look. Hey. Whoa. I just got a couple weeks. Okay. I just felt that. Just let him. He's
but you know, when he was down there and all suicidal and you know, mom all I was, you know, telling me all his problems and all his woes and everything, and then on his way home, it's like driving up here. It's like I didn't hear from him.
Yeah, well, just,
it's like he wants me when he wants me.
What?
Do you think
I'm sorry?
This girl is? It's like he wants me when he wants me. Do you think this girl is going to help him though?
Yes, of course. Any girl is going to help him at this point.
All right. What about the other one? Ryan
okay.
is.
No.
I don't even know if he's coming up this way at Christmas to see his father, and his father only lives about 5 miles from me.
Mm. 1 moment. All right. We're going to see if Ryan's coming around for Christmas. Why are you expecting him to be in? Have you called and he didn't call you back? Because I'm not getting him specifically ignoring you completely. I'm not feeling that right now. Before I even look.
No,
at
he hasn't called me at all since Labor Day. He has me blocked on Facebook, the phone, everything. I have no way of
did
getting
you,
in touch
did
with
him. You try to call him? You he's blocked you on your phone?
Yeah, way back, right after Labor Day. I can't call him. If I call, it says I can't get through to this number. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is serious.
He can
hold
call
on.
Me if
hold
he
on.
Wants.
Okay, 1 second. 1 second. Okay, you're just bringing this up now? I talked to your number. You didn't find
yeah,
it to be.
But I told you initially.
Okay.
I mean, I'm blocked on. I told you this. You probably don't remember so many calls. But yeah.
One moment. Hold on. All right. Who's he with right now?
He has a girlfriend. No, he was divorced.
We
kids.
Can talk about. She's just a bit. Yeah, she's just a. I don't want to say the word.
She's a bitch.
Get the lovers inverted. He hates her, but he loves her, but he can't control the situation. And then she's the Queen of Swords inverted. It's really simple. You know who the Queen of Swords is? You know who that is? That's a royal. You know what?
Pain in the
with
ass.
A sword in her hand. She has,
right.
She's constantly feeding, swords are ideas, thoughts, articulations of intellect, constantly saying verbally venomous things to assassinate someone's character. We talked about this. So
she's doing this about me.
Hold on, stop, don't interject. Hold on.
You should be in couples counseling. You should.
Okay, what did you say?
You should do couples counseling. Okay, stop
I
now.
Do.
Don't
I
interject.
Do. I do
it's
wonderful
her,
couples
it's his
reading.
Turn.
Please come see me. I'm Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo, and I do a wonderful couples reading. It's fantastic. Yeah, I tip people, and I shave $10 off just because, you know, it's a couple thing. And it's all about how you can come together as a couple. But the Three of Wands is this situation will move forward. Didn't I say the end of the year last year?
This
Did I
all
talk about
start?
This? Last time I talked
no, this
about
all
this?
Start.
I'm getting a lot of something shifting with the end of the year for this. I think he's going to try to contact you or something where I get the Three of Wands. It's something progressing to the next stage, and maybe you'll have, at least have access to your grandkids or something like that. I don't know. You're going to have to wait because I think that she's going to be very, very zealously guarding what happens over the holidays. Hold on.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know what the hell her problem is.
Well, you want me to ask real quick?
She's been in my house once.
Hold on. Hold on. Slow down. Let me ask. We'll have to get to the next caller after that one. What's the problem?
Her name is, do you want her name?
Yes, her first name.
Julie.
Oh, her problem is she feels like she's financially substantiating some of what's going on with Ryan, and she feels like it's just she's finding ways to, her problem is that she's telling herself that she's financially substantiating him when she's an upstart in her own career situation. She's not any veteran in what she's doing. She's just programmed. It's all emotional insecurity and
Is she using money over his head? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she makes good money, but
well, that's
no reason
okay,
for
well,
him.
That's the answer. And here's the thing. You have, well, again, I'm asking if I can be candid with you. You've created a very strong and potent emotional connection with your two boys, and it would make any females, women, jealous. Okay, and she is reacting to this, and she's making it be, she's wanting to separate the two of you. She's after that. I think that Ryan will be able to stand up to this, but it's only something that's going to have to build, and it'll have to grow. That's it. I mean, it's just, I see it progressing to the next stage of where he can include you in his life, but I think the last time we talked about this, I said look for it at the end of the year, and we're not quite there yet. So hopefully, you know, we can see this at some point in December.
All right.
It's just she's a very difficult person to deal with. And she doesn't want to give you an inch. So.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You're
but
right.
Just listen. Start, you know, pray. That's what you have to do is pray about it.
Okay. All right, honey. Listen, have a nice Thanksgiving to both of you.
Thank you. I will gobble, gobble, and call in
okay.
soon, okay?
All right.
Okay, honey. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Maddie. Well, marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. So, so Daniel Michael, anything to add, or...?
I did a reading for her a while back, and it was of a similar question about her one son, or it turned out to be that. And I said I honestly didn't see the relationship getting better for a few years. All the timelines, and I was using the Horizon, which has a timeline.
It has a heavy, heavy sort of, it's not changing anytime soon, but the thing is, I got the Three of Wands, so the thing is, there could be a bright spot that maybe she can work with in December, or she's going to have to pray, and that's all, you know, that's it. The thing is, lines of destiny continue and down a path, and they won't change, unless you directly try to affect change. And that's it. You know, you have to put energy out to change it and impose some of your will there. If you're not, if you're just going to examine like, well, what this is what everyone else is doing, then it's just not. You're not going to modulate that. You can't stand idly by and watch the train go by. You have to try to buy a ticket too. You know, and that's why I say pray, because that's what you know, she does have control over.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we have another caller, and it's.
Okay.
Welcome, 954. You're on the air.
Thank you. This is Mary. How are you?
Welcome, Mary.
Very nice. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
How are you this evening?
Okay. I'd like to ask you if you pick up anything about where I would be moving if my home sells and how things are going to work out in that respect financially.
Okay, wait. So whether you'll be moving or not, is that the question?
Well, my home is for sale. It's a financial decision. And I'm not sure where, what type of place I'll be going to, whatever you pick up on my next destination.
Okay, so what you're asking me what's going to happen or what you should do?
No, I'm just seeing how things will work out and where I'd be going. You know, like when it would sell and where would I be going to live, that type of thing.
Okay. Well, the thing is, this is still your decision. You know that, right?
Right.
I can't tell you what you're going to decide on because that'll affect the decision.
Right.
Want me to tell you what you're going to do? Because that might affect what the decision you make.
Okay. Well, whatever you see, whatever you pick up.
Okay, let me just, how about that? I'll just take a look and see what's going on. I'll have to ask what's going on and what direction I see it moving into. How about that?
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, white, blue, or cobalt blue?
How about cobalt? I have glasses that color.
Okay. And just one second, Mary. Okay, we're taking a look at Mary's situation with the home. She wants to kind of get into something that's a little bit more, maybe not as big, obviously, correct?
Right.
Okay. And something and maybe kind of make a little money on the house and then get into something a little bit more comfortable. One moment.
Okay.
Overall situation. All right, so I'm getting the Six of Cups for the overall situation. There is going to be, we're building towards, and I'm feeling it right now, this is like in the next 3 weeks, there is some, emotionally, this is going to be a positive, okay? The Six of Cups right side up. There's some interest shown in your home. There are people looking at it. There's going to be a debate where maybe you can set kind of, do you have it at a price? Do you have a price already?
Yes. I do.
Okay. There's going to be some lowball bids on it, but I think that you're going to get the inclination that you'll get what you want, what you're asking for it.
Okay.
It's just going to take a little negotiating.
Right.
Have you shown it yet? Have people been there to look at it yet?
Just a few in the last month.
It's going to get better. Because people want to get it into the new year. They want to know what the hell they're doing with their lives as they're moving in. It's a new year. We want to know what we're doing. We want to get this house situated. The Six of Cups is a beautiful card. I want you to write that down if you have a pen handy. It's a card of emotional bounty. It's like the only thing that's going to do that for you right now is knowing what the hell's going on with your house. So I think that as we leverage into like the beginning of December, you're going to have some offers. You're going to have some ideas. And it's like your place to pick and choose what offer you want to take. I wouldn't be surprised if you get more than what you're asking right now because they'll have some people that might be bidding and vying for this property. So I'm happy about that. Let me ask. Well, let's say two people. Hold on. Let's say two people really want it.
Oh.
And you're saying, well, these people are offering this. They're offering me the asking price, and they're like, well, we'll go over that. Wouldn't that
really?
Be amazing? The Six of Cups is about, look, you know what it shows me? It shows me a palatial mansion. It shows me flowers. You got two kids kicking a ball. They're having fun. They're playing together. And then there's six of vases with an abundance of orchids popping out of them. I mean, this is like a happy time.
Oh,
Okay. Isn't that great to have for the holidays coming up? That's beautiful.
It sure would, the way my finances have been. Whoa.
Right. So, but listen,
yeah.
You have to value your property the way you want people to value it. So meticulously clean, be ready when people come over. Don't let Scrappy poop on the lawn and on the front porch or whatever. You know what I mean? And just be ready.
I got ducks that I'm fighting to keep off my patio.
Keep the ducks off the patio.
Let
them go in the oven, but not
good
on the patio.
Generally.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll take the turkey from the oven, but I'm keeping. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You got to watch the way the winds are blowing with property, and
yeah.
I don't know what's going on in the area, but it may be an up and coming area. There may be some people that really are wanting to build and capitalize on the fact that some properties are shifting, and that wind is blowing in your direction. So.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of movement as far as new things being built around the area, and it's in a very advantageous location. I'm not moving really by a choice factor. It's just a financial. I have to make a move, or I cannot stay in the rut I'm in. So that's the only reason.
No, but do that. Listen, a financial choice means that God or, you know, the great goddess or the great Gatsby or whoever you want to say is saying, hey, guess what? You need to go. The universe is saying, time to move, Mary.
You put
a lot of energy into this home. And you know what? We're going to give you a gift if you listen to us and move.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
And
you're going to. You've already accepted doing that.
Do you feel like anything about the dwelling that I would move to? Because I want to stay in pretty much the same area. I'm a little concerned because I'd be going into a rental.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that just now.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on. Slow your roll. Yeah, I'm going to ask about it right now. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Okay, so where should you be going? What do I have to expect when Mary sells this house? By the way, I think you're going to go into probably the sale of it. You're probably looking at early in the year, which being in January to February.
Wow.
But that's negotiation period.
Uh-huh.
That's when people are ready. That's when you close. You know, that's all of the fall-to-roll and all the rigmarole of people getting through New Year's and all that jamming. So,
right.
Okay, so let's say you sell it, then what? What are you doing? Where are you living? What's going on? Here, let me take a look. Hold on.
So we're looking at spring. It's funny because
I saw gardens last time, and I'm getting like some outside stuff. I'm getting, if it's not, you're not going to be, it's going to be more of a lush area.
I'm in a lush area. Yeah, it's where I'm at is lush. Yeah, a lot of greenery.
Yeah, okay. All right. So that's good. I'm thinking, okay. Hold on. No, 3 o'clock. Okay, 8 o'clock. All right, listen. It's time for you to get spiritual and just trust in your spirit guides, okay? Have you had really nice feelings lately of like someone watching over you or something of that in that realm?
I've kind of been running the gamut between feeling like I'm being guided and then I get hit with something out of the blue and I go, what? You know, I thought it was moving.
You're being guided. That was the first thing. You're being guided. You're being guided, and you don't have control. This is scary because you don't have control. But it's going to be scary in a good way because good things are going to happen, but you got to keep all hands in the car. And when you go down the hill, just let it flow because you'll go right back up. And what we're looking at here is the 8 of Wands means you could be aggressively approaching, looking at all the different nuances of where we're going to live, what's going on, what condos are bi-level, what blah, 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 all this stuff. Sit back and relax because someone will give you a reference to something that's affordable that their cousin or their son gave up because he's moving in with his wife and all this stuff, and it's perfect for you. It's lush. You have an outside. You can have hanging plants and stuff like that and ducks. Well, you won't have the ducks anymore.
Cat.
But
perfect cat.
And then I'm getting the 3 of Cups, which more cups? Guess whose soul
is being fed, guess whose emotions are being satisfied? You. Because the Three of Cups is pure joy.
It's pure joy.
So it's you. It's you being realizing that there is an amazing, amazing, beautiful. There's a point to all this meandering of life. You know, sometimes we don't realize it because we're so focused on the menial aspect, and that point is just to be sitting back and enjoying the little things. You know, having this house and having the cleaning and a lot of the extraneous BS that's involved with it, I don't think you're meant to be doing it anymore. I don't think it's feeding your spirit.
I have to admit, as much as I love the beauty and all, that it has been very hard to keep up. There's been things breaking down that I can't continue to keep fixing and paying for and all that. So I've weighed all odds and looked at it from all angles, and I'm just going to continue to have a burden unless I do something, and it's not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's why I made, I finally had to say, look, I don't see the cards coming in my favor. I've got to do something. My main concern was I have my cat.
You can't do the Eight of Wands, and I'm asking my spirit guide, and it's not telling me that you have to aggressively look at all into the situation, that it will be a reference. It will be networked to you.
Good. That's good to know.
Without you really trying.
I'm scouting around, but I do have a realtor, and I was hoping
Don't scout. You're not going to get a merit badge. Okay?
Okay.
Someone's going to come to you. They'll be your friend who, from this thing, from 5 years ago, and then she happens to know somebody, like I said, like her son, who she's getting married. He doesn't want his condo anymore.
Right. As long
that's
as
perfect for you.
I'm good.
That's not going to be to the beginning of the year because you have to have the sale in hand first.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I can't scout now. It's too early.
Right.
But when
trust,
you get
trust it, in the energy.
It's a little scary to jump. Like I'm jumping off a cliff and I don't know where I'm going to land.
Jump into the hands of God in the energy of the collective and protective spirit of your guardian angels. That's what you're doing.
Because every place I moved, I was kind of
right. But now is not the time to go back into what happened that was bad in my past.
Just saying the
who's talking there? That's the little imps that keep you from success or keep you from being
happy. No, actually, this is a positive comment because every time that I had to move, and I didn't think I would find a place. I found a better place. And it was better each time. So
that is a positive. See,
that's
what you're
going
to do now. You're about to do the same thing.
Right, and I'm trying to focus.
You're about to do the same thing.
Great.
So why do you drive yourself crazy first? You're like, I'm going to make myself crazy first.
Yeah.
My dad, my father, I remember, he came to D.C., he was like, and okay, those of us may have heard this before on the show, but he's like, okay, you're doing well in D.C., you have these two really wonderful, head reader spots in these stores, and you have all these clients, but why would you want to get up and move to New Orleans? And I said, because that's the spirit
you
is
were drawn. You were just
blowing
drawn.
Down the Mississippi. There it is,
I've never been to New Orleans, but I spent a lot of summers in D.C., and I loved it there. It was a beautiful Georgetown.
Oh, yeah. And then in the spring, you have?
Oh, yeah, the
Cherry
Blossom. A beautiful
Yeah,
trip.
Man. That's really amazing. So you have to listen to what your guys are doing, and your guys are doing something really amazing for you now. So
wonderful.
I would resonate with that.
Inspiration. I needed that tonight, and I really appreciate it. And you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Thanks, Mary.
So take care now.
Love
Bye-bye.
You. I'm glad to see that.
All right. And thank you very much for calling, and you have a great Thanksgiving as well.
And I did want to say, anyone who wants to get a hold of me for a private consultation, my email is dbucare, and that is at gmail.com, dbucare@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And, of course, she mentioned lush property, and some people would say that New Orleans is a little bit lush as well, where you're at.
It's a lot of it lush.
It has a few lushes there.
mm-hmm. There are lushes here? Yes, there are quite a few lushes.
It's a town that likes to party, is all I'm saying. I lived on the Gulf Coast. I like to party on the Gulf Coast.
Yes, indeed. A lot of plants and all sorts of others. At any rate, I think I'm happy to see that for her. That'll be a good transition. That'll be. Sometimes we got to just, let go of the handlebars and just let it flow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, she said in a quote, I do feel like I'm being guided. I do feel like that is a spirit. Now, that is also, how do we know when we're not alone? That is a nuance that we can appreciate is feeling a spiritual presence. Now, there's nothing scary about that. We're not getting, grabbed in the shower or anything like that. It's more of a, I know somebody's there, and I know they're guiding me because they are having an effect on what my day-to-day life is. But it's not a bad thing.
And
it's not something where, yes, we're never alone, but we also, we don't always have spiritual elements affecting what our decisions are or guiding the outcome of decisions. So when we see that happening and we see a direct effect on the fact that our intent is not always what's causing a direct effect on what's happening in our day-to-day lives, then we have to ask ourselves, well, who is? What's happening? And when we can see that happening more and more often, then we have to ask ourselves, who's really taking an interest in me and why is it happening? And that's where the sense of, okay, someone's involved, and we just saw one of the most positive versions of that and something really dramatically changing for someone, yet positive in the same sense. And that's what we just talked about, I would say.
She had about as happy and as nice and as pleasant as a reading in a bunch of cards as one could expect from that as far as for being mostly minor arcana cards. And I would like to also say that, as I said before, that now these numbers, of course, as this is an art and a science that is spiritualism and spirituality and all this metaphysics, that about 90, 95, some people say 85%, whatever the number may be, of ghost and spirit encounters do end without the person experiencing it being harmed in any way except for maybe being startled. Then you have the other cases of people that either just are unlucky or get themselves involved and maybe shouting at forces they shouldn't be shouting at. But most of the time, for the average, person, it's an encounter that ends without harm to the person at all, except for just being startled by the experience. So it's nothing to be...
Other than when Patrick Swayze invaded... No, I'm just kidding. No, usually there's nothing difficult or completely hemorrhaging or anything like that. But the psychological ramifications of a spiritual encounter can be, I play cleanup for this. I can't even tell you all the time. Because the first thing when people walk into Marie Laveau's, they want to go, guess what? When I was 10 years old, I saw a ghost. Tell me what that all means. And I'm like, well, I have to kind of at least explain to them that it's not that unique of a situation. And then actually it's something that can be very positive, or it can be something that can be very startling that maybe has had ramifications on the rest of their life since that point. And I've seen that too.
I'd like to also mention that, though I said that, most of the time, most encounters aren't something that harm the person experiencing them. There are as well very negative experiences to be had. And, of course, I mentioned, some people may be with forces they don't understand. Some people just being, whatever the case may be, unlucky, old karma, just gifted in seeing everything. There's a lot, and I have... In my own family history, people that have claimed to be attacked by metaphysical forces and spirits and all this, I won't go into detail on the air, but it was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But the point I was making is
that for the most part, for most humans, just like most people in general, you know, you can be even in a bad neighborhood, and even the police would tell you in this neighborhood that people, some people might be scared to drive. You know, I drive through ghettos all the time in Baltimore and D.C. with the work that I do. And even the police will tell you only 5% of the people there are actually, you know, violent and the real, you know, violent crimes like that, and which basically means the other 95%, and that's in the worst neighborhoods in the country, and you can look that statistic up. It's about between 5 and like 8% that commit the real violent crimes in the gang-ridden neighborhoods. Everybody else is just some, you know, guy trying to wake up or family trying to go to work and do what they got to do. It's the same thing in the spirit world. It's out there. It's bad. You can mess with it. You can be part of the bad life and part of the bad afterlife, I guess.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of really wonderfully interesting little comments here from Crystal Muse. So apparently
yes.
She would scar us for life with stories. So I would love it if she called in and told us what wonderfully funny stories that or interesting stories that since being a spiritualist that works in Afro-Caribbean mysticism and in the community here in New Orleans and like around the country, I would love to hear one of these haunting stories that she has. Just call in and tell us. I think that would be great and share
sure.
with them. You know? I have a pretty thick skin, so I think it would be really interesting to hear one of them.
Oh, yeah, she
also
has experience. I know she is.
You know,
she's definitely experienced. She's a friend of mine, and I'm aware that she's very experienced in the metaphysical arts, I'll say that.
Okay, has she had a really mammoth, giant experiences with slightly demonic spirits and things? Or?
I have no idea of her personal experience. I just know her, and I know she's well-versed in many occult things and matters as alignment. Without divulging
here. Okay. All right. Well, she should call in. I think that would be good. She could share some very colorful stories. I'm sure.
Yeah, that might be her now. I think that might be her number.
Okay.
313. You're on the air.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Marcy. How are you?
I don't know. He dared me to call in, so here I am. Hello, Darren.
Okay, good. Hello.
I double bug dared you.
My vibrant chat room person. Like, so have you
I
had...
I have lunch with Kevin while I'm in there, too.
Oh, good.
Okay.
No,
how
you've been very... Inlies made a very enlightened comment. I know. If I was a fly on the wall listening to certain things that happen on this show, I was going to be... You're saying what I'm thinking half the time.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Okay,
I really
let's
do.
See.
So
scary,
no, but really though,
stories,
I'm sorry.
Scary story.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm somebody that's been at the, you know, kind of the front lines of some incredibly difficult haunting manifestations where I've had to actually clear homes and stuff. People have been attacked and stuff like that. So. If you could kind of, we're talking about, it's the theme tonight too, FYI.
Yeah,
so it's
kind of why I showed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
scary
share
story.
A little bit
Let's
of
see.
If you, if you don't mind, if it's something that's not too deeply personal.
It isn't, it isn't. I've put it in its place where it belongs a long time ago. But there's a little back history that kind of goes with it. Longtime friend of mine that I hadn't seen in years, for whatever reason, out of necessity, whatever, shows back up in my life.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a lot of time doing things like we used to do when we were younger and hanging around with each other and generally having fun.
So you were seeing each other back in the day, and then he kind of showed up again, and but you had kind of a playful, relaxer relationship where it wasn't a
yeah,
giant labeled relationship.
Like almost
okay.
like siblings, really more than anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. When he came back into my life, he had been married a few times. He
mm-hmm.
had one stepchild and one biological child.
Okay.
And his son was the older. And his son was a musician just like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a lot of things that were centered around music.
Okay.
And we spent countless hours
no,
watching the sunrise on his porch. No, not at all. Not at the time. But anyway, they...
Okay. So his son
How old was his son? It's really difficult to hear you.
I think he was saying how old was the son at the time is what he was asking.
Early 20s.
Okay.
And he had gone out to work and was headed home and was killed in a car accident.
The freaky
part of the story is when it happened, I dreamt it or experienced it in some fashion as it was occurring. But it wasn't a case like there and watching it with my own eyes. It was experiencing it through him. I could smell the car burning. I could feel the weight on his chest. And it was like maybe a whole of 10 seconds and just like waking up from a very sound sleep.
You could feel the weight
whole
of those.
Thing, I could feel the weight on his chest. He was crushed in the car. Okay, now, I had no idea about what was going on. I hadn't talked to them in a few weeks. Life was going on all about normal. This crazy end-of-night dream type thing happened. And 3 days later, I get a phone call from his father telling me that he had been killed in an accident.
Did you think to call him and say, hey, this was weird?
Because at the time, I didn't know who it was. I don't ever get the complete message.
Okay.
I had no idea who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like I was him for that quick instant so that he could show me what happened.
Okay. And
I kept that with me for a long time. It was over 5 years before I could even look his father in the face. I mean, it just was probably the weirdest experience I've ever had in my life.
Mm. Wow. And that is scary. I mean, that's like when you... Because here's the thing, you also have no, you're not actually there. So you couldn't save yourself or find a way out of the situation because you were just experiencing it, but you weren't there.
Yeah, like literally at the second that it occurred.
Wow. You know, that's scary. That is a specific type of psychokinetic, like thought transference. Like that's major. So
yeah,
that's
literally a here I am, this is something you need to know.
Did you feel the pain of like anything cutting
into you or anything? All of it. Everything.
It was totally horrific. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
okay,
you know,
I stand corrected.
As soon as I heard who it was, I went directly down to the hospital. And, you know, I mean, at that point, you really can't do anything other than just be there.
Okay, so this opens up a couple of different questions for me, and I guess one of them would be, do you think that was a message for you that you need to kind of move into being a medium or being a clairvoyant for people? Because you were talking 3 days later. That's a significant space between point A when you had the dream and point B when it happened.
Yeah, I've never thought about doing this deliberately. I don't want it. That's not something I want to have to deal with every day.
Mm-hmm. So what's can I ask your theosophy at all, are you polytheistic or are you kind of monotheistic with polytheistic tendencies or?
I don't use big scientific terms to describe spirituality.
Okay. All right. So do you believe in elemental energies or you just kind of go the whole, like, everything is everything sort of, it's all energy and we just kind of synaptically connect with it and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a fair description.
Okay. All right. That's cool. It's kind of, I mean, it that lends itself to Buddhism, but it's also its own thing. So you just say you're a spiritual patient, which I think is cool. I think that if you experience something so dramatic, do you think you helped, now, this is somebody you're really close to, do you think you helped him navigate through the situation, or?
I think in his own way, he wanted to show me, because he knew I would be the one person that would always be there to help his father through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was. Until he decided that things were all right in the world again and he picked up and moved on with his life, I was there. I did everything with him. I helped him with everything that I could. You know. And he eventually ended up getting it together, and he got married again and moved down to a really nice place in Florida, and they're doing great. They're actually about to have their first child.
Amazing.
You know, so he's going to get his second chance, and I'm waiting. It's kind of a toss-up. Everybody's kind of taking bets on what the baby's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is. He's going to get his second chance. And it's just, I don't know, people, I don't have, like, a lot of extreme stories or experiences like this.
No, that's an extreme
But the
story.
Ones that I have are huge, and they're always to people who are connected to me that have kind of, like, gone far away or gone out of my life for a period of time. And they come back. And when they come back, it's always something big like this.
Mm-hmm. It's just something like mammoth like this.
Yeah.
What's your day-to-day job?
You have some really weird noise behind you. I did not hear what you said.
Oh, my family's eating dinner.
Ah, hello, family.
We're making dinner. What's your day-to-day job? Do you integrate the kind of a spiritual vibe into your day-to-day, or I get interested in what, you know, because somebody that had that sort of giant mammoth experience and has had a couple of other ones as well, that's something that is so life-changing that it would be hard not to embrace that as a, you know, or integrate
well, like
that into
a day-to-day. The comment that I made earlier in the chat room about, you had said something about closing the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that sometimes you realize that that's a waste of time because they just kick it open. I find that to be true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have actually had people tell me, well, you can do this. You can shield yourself. You can protect yourself, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can turn it off, treating it like it's a light switch. On and off, on and off, on and off. And I've tried numerous things. I've run through some of the suggestions because it used to drive me batty.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to a point where you realize you're just stuck with it.
Okay, there's levels, like a volume button. There's levels. I always have residual going on. I always do.
Yeah, I guess you could.
You stick
it on the back burner, but you don't ever turn it off.
Right, right. No, I totally agree with that. Because people are always like, they just meet me, and they're like, oh, what do you do? And then they're like, well, what are you getting from me? I'm like, I'm not getting anything from you because I'm not working right now. Or I'm having a mimosa or whatever. You know, until
right
now I'm making
cool
pancakes. I'm not doing that right now. But can I maybe tell if that person was like Jeffrey Dahmer and I need to get away? Probably, yeah. What, you know what I
oh,
know
yeah.
at that point? Sure. If I even think about or even slightly subconsciously lean into the fact that maybe I need to know something about that person, oh, the floodgates open immediately. And then it's like, you know, that the fact that they used to put M80s in the bathroom, in the toilet in high school and do, you know, it just starts
yeah,
coming
it
in
all
and
once.
Then it's stuff that I don't want to know. And then that's affecting. So that's where I need to, I've developed a way to, and you know, and I think, and again, I will give one of my, you know, every couple of months I give a shout out to one of my mentors in Savannah, Christia Cummings, for teaching me how to shield and kind of buffer myself from a lot of the empathic and clairvoyant messages she gives. But yeah, no, you're right. You can't completely shut the door, but you can, shutting the door is a good visual to use too, especially if you're trying to stop an extended sort of interaction with a spirit that is just not
or
fun.
Turning away. Just turn around and walk away from it. That generally works.
Right. That's true. Whatever, I find very few things
that are persistent at that point. They just kind of turn themselves away once you've walked away, or at least in my case.
Mm-hmm. And that's good, because that's what you've developed as a way to kind of separate. Now, when you're getting ready for bed, when you close your eyes, do you see like any sort of flashing or a myriad of different images that kind of morph into different things?
Depends on the day, but sometimes.
Sometimes you get that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's just, and the thing that's disorienting about that is a lot of times they're not images that we would have came up with ourselves. They're actually nothing that our creative or individualistic thought would have created. It's just, where are they coming from?
Right, and some of it's just brain
garbage. You see a penguin sliding down a candy cane, and then it turns into like three old men arguing, and it's like, where? I didn't come up with that, then where is it coming from?
Hey, wait a minute, candy cane? Can we back up? Yeah.
Can we back up the penguins and
I love
candy
canes.
Stay there. We love candy canes. I just
and
got
I
these Milano cookies from Petrus Farm with little bits of candy cane on it. Oh my God.
No, those are evil.
They're evil. Yeah, yes, they are. They're very evil. They're good.
I wanted to add, I agreed with Crystal, who's Crystal Marcy. I wanted to agree with her that...
Pick a name, Daniel.
That's right. Well, when you came in with a code name, I wasn't sure if it was okay to say Marcy or not, but I think I've done that. But...
Well, don't endanger her superhero identity.
Your superhero
identity.
Oh, my
superhero identity is personal. Nobody knows it.
But the truth is, I agree with you when you talked about how they sometimes won't be persistent. Because we mentioned before how most time these encounters aren't necessarily harmful, even though yours, you mentioned scent and even pain in the dream, but not necessarily bodily harm to you, but still a very dramatic experience. And I've found the same thing, is that the less fear you have going into any of this, I'll feel something start to come on sometimes and be like, nah, I got to work. And I just don't give it any energy at all, and it'll turn away. And then if I want to focus on things, and if I want more experiences to happen, or if I want more astral projections to happen, and I do more meditations and I'm doing all of that, then they'll increase. But if I kind of don't give them, again, random stuff will happen, like you mentioned, like a random thing, like, whoa, you know, like when my uncle died, a random thing. But sometimes when just those, you know, you feel those basic things coming on, or even in nightmares sometimes, if I just don't give it the energy, that extra fear energy, like I give a crap about it, it will kind of, like you said, not persist and not stick around.
Can I share this with you guys? I had this dream that my friend got in a car accident last night, which is just weird because you said it, but, you know, so obviously she didn't, but I called right away. Crystal called right away to make sure she didn't get exited, but she wasn't supposed to be driving her car for whatever reason, and then she's been driving because she's got to go back and forth to these movies, this movie project that she's working on now. So she is driving more. So I said, watch out for giant holes in the road, because, hey, guess what? In New Orleans, because of flooding, there are giant holes in the road occasionally. So Yes, they do. Those dreams, giving over to that fear. I didn't want to cut into what you're saying, Daniel, but...
That's okay.
I just wanted to add that before I forgot.
Yeah.
And I'm bouncing off that whole thing.
And that's all I meant, is that but even then, even when you become, like, I think that's part of when they say of the pyramid to dare is to, umming too much tonight, by the way, that's a sign that I'm tired. the to dare aspect is the aspect of not being afraid, not being afraid to explore, stepping out of your comfort zone, and understanding that it's all part of the exploration and journey. And I'm talking about as a metaphysical practitioner.
Fear is a slide that keeps going down.
Getting
and
over.
If you want to slide down and just let yourself go, then you just keep going. And going.
Yeah, fear is wasted
energy
anyway.
Because then you just find the next thing that you're afraid of and then add it.
Right.
And they're awesome.
And fear is completely wasted energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's wasted. And hatred is wasted energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And doubt. Hate, fear, doubt, and anger, all bad stuff. So now, am I without fault there? I knew. I'm not, you know.
I have not been angry in 6 months. I had that on a job.
A little mad about the Justin Bieber pants that I was told about earlier today. I can't believe that's a thing. Is that really a thing? I guess it is a thing. I don't know. Do I want to hate them? No, I don't want to hate them. Or hate the fact that they exist, or the Cougar Town's on for another season, or whatever. I mean, whatever. I don't know.
Just laugh your ass off and then turn the TV, radio, or internet off and walk away.
That's
that power button. It's a wonderful thing.
But of course, wait 6 minutes for that because we're still on the air for another 6 minutes or so.
Yeah, do you want to give another person 6 minutes? Is there anybody in the queue?
That's right. Actually, there is not another caller in the queue.
Kevin, call in.
There was another caller in the queue, and they kept kind of dropping and coming back. And
does Aurora have a question of any sort or not?
I think Aurora dropped out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it looks like she's vanished.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, I wanted to say that connecting with Spirit and connecting to friends that may be contacting you or expressions of deity from your guardian angels to Jesus to the goddess of wisdom to the goddess of dreams or to the god of the sea, any of that can be a really, really enriching and powerful experience. So I do want to say that that's something that you shouldn't shy away from, but you should honestly stay protected and keep your chakras aligned and know that you are alive, so you are inherently more powerful than any sort of disembodied spirit that is hanging on to life here, and that you should not feel threatened. So that's important there. And if you are feeling threatened, you need to go through the motions of strength and enrichment and connecting with something higher that will keep you protected from any sort of low-level spirits.
Or simply turn your back and walk away.
And if that's a mechanism that works, that can just, you know, now it's not as easy as that, all that, for people, Crystal, and this is what I do for a living. I talk to people all the time. If I can just tell them, well, just turn your back and walk away, that would be great. But when somebody calls me from Connecticut and they have their neighbors are strangling black cats and sending low-level spirits to push her down the stairs, that doesn't exactly, you know, I'd love to be just like, okay, just turn your back, walk away.
And I also think,
you know, she's
it's also on levels of experience. Like in Crystal's case, she's very educated in the occult world and experienced.
For her, that it's a mechanism.
Yeah.
I would eat her low-level spirits like snacks. And then send back a little messenger with a note that simply stated, next time send the dip.
Right. See?
Send some dip with your smack.
And that is a totally empowered mechanism for you to say, this is stopping, this is it, this is my message to you. And there are walls that are being set up and agencies that appeal to you, that are connected with you and your protection, that are being enacted when you do that. For somebody that dwells
in. And I mean, simply put, if you want to get rid of me, come at me yourself. If you have to send something else after me, you're a coward, and I'll eat you for lunch too. I have no use for people that would lowball somebody like that. You know, it's just not right.
Oh, it's
right.
Appalling. Well, anyone that's torturing cats is I don't even.
No, they'd be the first.
I can't imagine
off my block,
even dealing
guaranteed.
With somebody like that on any level, though. So
let's just put it
trying
this
to reason
way,
with them. Is point.
They don't call it the willow tree for nothing, and they'd be nailed to it.
Right.
We do have about 50 seconds, folks. So, Marcy, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Hey, thank you so much for calling in and sharing. And please don't be a stranger.
Calling in is always fun.
It was really nice to meet you. And Daniel Michael, as always, thank you for your candor. Everyone, please tune in again next week for Spiritual Insight with Darren Bucare. And again, you can get a hold of me at dbucare, D-B-U-C-A-R-E at gmail.com.
thank you, everyone, for joining us on Spiritual Insight with Aaron Bucher. Have a great evening and a great Thanksgiving.
Have a great holiday. Thank you.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.